I hope today Holy Spirit will allow for us to have another wonderful time in learning more about fasting and the power of fasting. If you have your Bibles, please open to Mark chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. Mark chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. This is a story of Jesus, and he's encountering Pharisees, disciples of John, and they're criticizing him for not being a man of fasting. Okay? And as we learned last week, that Jesus and his disciples did not fast during 3.5 years of his ministry. Amen? We know that Jesus did fast for 40 days before his ministry began. Amen? But after that, he was actually accused of being a glutton and a drunk. Because Jesus, while he was here on earth, was really enjoying time, you know, of celebration. And it's the moment of bridegroom. And that's why the Pharisees and disciples of John accused him. Hey, how come you guys are not fasting? Isn't it interesting? When you're having a party, somebody decides to fast and tells you, well, you should be fasting too. But Jesus wouldn't fall for it. He's like, I'm the bridegroom that Israel has been waiting for thousands of years. I'm the one who it's been prophesied about. The bridegroom is coming. You've been waiting for him, and now I come and you want to fast? Come on. Amen. So let's read the scripture. The disciples of John and Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to Jesus, why do disciples of John and Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Okay? They were complaining, criticizing him. And Jesus said to them, Can a friend of groom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have a bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then the friends of the bridegroom will fast. Then the friends. Are you a friend of a bridegroom? Here it's Jesus, the bridegroom. Amen? So they will fast. But notice, there is time to fast and there is time to celebrate. Even Jesus knew the time. Are you always being a mournful Christian? Always down, always depressed, always feeling negative? Well, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. I'm waiting for Jesus to come. Listen, even Jesus knew the times. When it's your birthday, can you please cheer up? When it's somebody's, you know, birthday, would you please celebrate? When we come here on Sundays, I know we all have problems during the week, but Sunday is a time for celebration. Time for giving God praise and giving Him glory. And some of us, well, mourning. There's time for that, I know. But there's time for joy. And the Bible says, in the evening, there is sorrow. But joy comes in the morning. His mercy is renewed to you every morning. His joy is renewed to you every morning. Amen? So Jesus was actually, if you would see him, he was kind of a cheerful guy. Remember, they would mourn and cry and fast. Fasting was a sign for mourning. And remember, another time Jesus accused Pharisees. He says, you have lone faces. You sit on the street declaring to everybody, I'm fasting. Don't you dance here. Don't you sing a song here. Because I'm fasting. Jesus said, no, no, no. If you fast, put on a smile. Whoa. Really? Wash your face. Anoint your face with oil. Don't stink because you didn't take a shower for 3 days. Hey, take a shower. Put some perfume on. Or cologne on, whatever it is, and smile. Fasting should be a joyful time in the presence of God. Praise and worship should be joyful. Hey, if fasting is joyful, then this here on Sunday, praise and worship, two songs, should be really joyful. Amen? So Jesus knew how to have fun. You remember the story of prodigal son? When he came, God set up a great party, great celebration, killed a fat calf. I mean, gave him a ring and a finger. And religious people, oh no, we don't do that. No, we're working hard for Jesus. Hey, that's part of being a Christian, is to rejoicing. There's time to cry. And you know what? The two greatest emotions that God has given us is tears and laughter. That's how we release stress, right? Help me out here. Are you sleeping or what? No, come on, talk to me. That's how we release stress, is either through crying or through laughing. Have you ever cried till you laughed? Have you ever laughed till you cry? That's you know, if you laughed more and cried more, maybe you wouldn't explode so much. You know, you wouldn't get angry so much. Come on, ask God to give you laughter and to give you tears. Amen. I wanna cry more. Sometimes I feel like my heart is so, you know, manly. You know, it's okay, and that's why I love chick flicks. My wife, and I know this, I used to hide it from my wife, and you know, every time we would watch a chick flick, I don't like it. And now I'm just like, forget this, baby. You know, I'm just going to cry if I want to. It's my party. And I still kind of turn away, you know, and just like, it's my eyeglasses getting foggy, you know, baby. Just clearing up my eyeglasses, you know. But it's okay. It's the greatest, two greatest emotions that God gave us, is tears and laughter. Use it. Use it for the glory of God. Laugh for the glory of God. Cry for the glory of God. But don't make other people do it just because you're doing it, okay? It'd be kind of weird. All right. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. And no one puts a new wine into the wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskins. Hallelujah. Today, I'm talking about fasting again. And listen, fasting is an emergency line before the throne of God. Point number one. Fasting is an emergency line. It's an express line to the throne of God. Now, have you ever been in a store? And I don't know what's your favorite store, but I know in America, we don't like waiting in lines. I remember when I was a kid and we lived in Ukraine, and my parents would make me go and stand in line for a long time. Like for an hour or two, and then my dad would come right at the end, or my mom would come, you know. So that would be my job for the day. You know, waiting in line, and then she would come and cut in, and that would, you know, and kids would do that. Parents would make their kids go and stand in line for a long time, and then they would kind of figure out how big the line is, and then they would come. Remember, there was no cell phones. Dad, come on, come. Mom, come on. No, it was just, you had to time it right. You know, you had to be perceptive and stuff. But here, we don't have so many lines. Sometimes it's 2-3 people, and we're like, man, the lines are long in Walmart. You know, and it's the same thing with Menards. If you like Menards or Best Buy, you know, it's usually like 1 or 2 people, and then we're complaining already. And we're looking, and we're walking, power walking, you know. And who's going to get first into the line? And boom, somebody cuts in, and we're like, ugh! You know, and we just get angry. We don't like lines, but the fact of life is that there's lines in the stores. I don't know what your favorite stores are, but mine is Best Buy and a music store. I could go to Best Buy and just, you know, hang out there. I don't do that, but I could. I just feel like they will think I'm stealing something, you know. So if I'm there too long. So there is, fasting opens an emergency line before the throne of God. Now, before the throne of God, there's also lines. And I'm not saying that God cannot answer all the needs at the same time, but I just want you to visualize throne of God, and there is lines. I named 5 lines to the throne of God. Okay? And today, that's my message. Five lines, to the throne of God. Hallelujah. There's one line, and this is the longest line. It's the prayer line before God. Would you agree that prayer is the, if there was lines before the throne of God, prayer line would be the longest line there is. Now, you don't have to be a Christian to stand in the prayer line. Everybody prays one time or the other. So if there was a prayer line before God, it would be like 7 billion long, with an exception of a few atheists here and there. But even them, when they get in trouble, they suddenly get religious. Amen? And so if there was a line, prayer line, I like to call it a beggar's line. You know, just like I'm driving a little bit over speed limit on the street, and I'm not a Christian, but I see a police officer with a radar gun, and he clocked me at 55 in a 30-mile zone. And I'm like, Lord, please, don't let him turn around. If you are that kind of a prayer warrior, then you would probably be standing in that one line, you know, that 7 billion strong. And it's always, some people have two requests, so it gets longer. So that line is pretty long. Now, most people get into the line. Now, some of those prayers in that line get answered in time. Others' prayers don't get rejected even. Because some people pray for like, God, she's hot. I got to be with her. That prayer gets disqualified. You know, gets thrown out. So if you pray that kind of a prayer, out. Right? So that line is like all kinds of weirdos in that line. You know, and a lot of Christians too, you know. God, help me, Lord. Never mind. I'll do it myself. You know, that line is pretty long, right? You don't want to be in that line. Because I know God can answer all prayers at one time. But sometimes in that line, He says no. If I came to you and said, who's chewing a gum here right now? Okay. Who do I want to pick on? I would say, can I please have a piece of your gum that you're chewing? What would you say to me? You would say no. Is that an answer or no? Is that an answer? Yes, your no is the answer. So if you come before God with a stupid thing like that, God, can I have a piece of your gum that you're chewing? God will say no. Out. Some prayers He won't even answer. Some prayers He'll be like, just get out of my face, you know, just don't tempt me, because I'll give you something that you don't want. Remember, Israelites were begging God for meat, and He gave them meat and started coming out, and they became sick, and 125,000 died of a plague that day. They ate so much meat. Remember, they didn't know that after you've been eating manna for so long, you got to ease into meat. You know, just kind of little chunks, you know. Maybe do the meat puree first, you know. But they were like pheasants or whatever those birds are. Chickens, let's eat them. And some ate it, you know, without even cooking it on a fire. And 125,000 of them died. And in Psalms, it talks about that they angered God by praying to Him, by asking Him something that was not in His will. But He says, okay, I will answer your prayer. Some of you are praying a prayer and God says, It's not what I want to do for you. But you're just so persistent and begging. And God's like, here. And you're like, whoa. What have I done? So there's a huge line before the throne of God. It's humongous. People go there for, God, I need a boyfriend. I need a girlfriend. God, I need a car. God, I need a new car. Oh, it would be nice to have this and that. I mean, people just come for the weirdest thing in that line. I mean, that's why I say there's a lot of weird people there in that line. And people say, bring a spouse or complain, God, my wife this, my husband this, you know. And they bring requests, God, can you make my spouse do this? God, can you make my wife do that? You know, I mean, there's this whole bunch. It's a long line, 7 billion. So you see why God kind of, He answers the important ones, but most of them just taking time, if there was such a thing. Because remember, there's no time in eternity. So there is no such thing. But if there was, it'd be a long line and you would have to wait for a long time. And that's why people give up and go do their own thing. Now, there's a second line before the throne of God. And that is the line of people who come to God in faith. There's such thing in James chapter 5 that's called prayer of faith. 5:16 and 17. There's a prayer of faith. And that's not necessarily the fastest line either, guys. It's a shorter, way shorter line because not as many people come to God with prayer of faith. It's mostly beggars come to God. God, please do this for me. Please do that for me. But prayer of faith is a shorter line. However, it's not the fastest answering line. Do you remember Abraham? He was a hero of faith. He's a man of faith. How long did it take Abraham to get his promise? 25 years, people. Plus 70. Yeah, plus 75. Yeah, it took him a long time. He didn't have a son, but he was called a man of faith. It took him a long time to get a promise from God. So prayer of faith is a good prayer, but it's not the fastest. It's not the express lane. Although it's a shorter, way shorter lane before God. Bible says this, Jesus said this, when you pray, help me out, believe that you have received and you shall have it. What does shall means have it? It's a future tense. You shall have it. So you pray now, you believe now. That's how faith is. Faith prays and says, God, I need this. Thank you that I have received it. And you walk. Thank you, Lord. I got it. I got it. I got it. But notice you didn't get it yet. You're confessing that you got it. Because if you got it, you didn't need to confess that you will get it. Okay. So it's in the future. So you believe now, you confess that you received now, but it's coming in the future. Let's say you're praying for a house. You're saying, God, I'm believing for a house. I'm believing for healing. Sometimes it takes a while for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why God had to wait 25 years before he gave Abraham his son. But it has something to do with testing of your faith. Is your faith real? Now, the question is, did God knew that Abraham was going to be faithful? Yeah, God knew that before he chose him. But Abraham didn't know that. And what kind of testimony would we have if God did things for us he knew we were going to do? Well, I didn't know I was going to do it. You didn't know you were going to do it, right? So that's why God allows us to have a testimony. He allows the test so you can be victorious and so you can be more than conqueror. Someday in eternity, you'll meet all these people in heaven. And each of them will have a testimony based on what they trials that they conquered. And what are you going to do? Well, God knew what I was going to do. I'm actually great, but I didn't do anything because God knew that I was going to do it, so he didn't let me do it. No, see, life is so short. It's 80, 90, 100 years, you know, in our time. But listen, eternity is so long. It's nothing. This life, 80 years, 90 years is nothing to compare to 80 billion years. What's 80 years? Nothing. Nothing, guys. And that's why Paul says these trials, temporary trials, create in us glory that will be revealed. How many of you still with me? Amen. Talking good stuff here. Hallelujah. And so, our faith and what we do here in life will echo for eternity. There's people who are going to be saved but barely saved in heaven. They won't have the privileges and crowns that you do. There's people going to be walking there without crowns. There's people that are going to be walking there. It's better to be in heaven than hell, obviously. I mean, obviously, you know, and some of you are like, well, why does that matter? As long as I make it to heaven, it will matter, people. It will matter because heaven is more than you can imagine. And the things in there are Let me give you just one example about heaven. Have you ever loved somebody so much that you understood them without words? Yes, no? Yeah. What is that called? That spirit to spirit talk. You just look and they understand you. Have you ever didn't know somebody and it doesn't matter what you said, they still didn't understand you? Have you ever said something you totally didn't mean and somebody took it the wrong way? Because you were different. You were talking on another level and they were talking on a maybe understanding with a fleshly level. There's going to be people who live fleshly in this life, who barely got saved. They confess Jesus. They at the, you know how a lot of people get saved? In a hospital. I've visited many people in a hospital who didn't believe God, but because they were dying and they didn't know what they were going, so they kind of made an insurance policy with God. They, you know, just like, I'll believe in you. I don't understand you. And the interesting thing is, I would ask people, would you pray, you know, instead of watching TV? I know you're going to die. You're on the sixth floor, you know, or whatever that floor is in the hospital. You know where they put people? Where they're, you know, just a few days left. And a fleshly person who didn't live for God, you think they're going to change just because they, you know, they're dying? No, they accepted Jesus. And the coolest thing is, in Romans it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So they will be saved, but as from the fire, Bible says. You know that scripture? As from the fire. But then there's those who live for God, who gave up some worldly pleasures to look for Him, to search Him out, to get to know Him. You think things just automatically change because you get to heaven? No, not necessarily. If you walked in the Spirit, if your faith level grew in heaven, that's going to matter. If you were fleshly, yeah, you'll make it to heaven. But guess what? You'll have to talk to the people. You'll have to communicate with your mouth. But whoever grew to the higher level of the Spirit, whoever grew to the greater walk of faith, will be able to communicate distances in the Spirit. Heaven is humongous, people. It's bigger than the earth. So if you are in one part of heaven and somebody is on the other part of heaven, how do you get to them? How do you communicate with them? Everything is Jesus. Amen. Right? I mean, just think about it. How big is heaven? Is this just a little city? Yeah, there's a city of Jerusalem that's like humongous, but heaven is way bigger than the earth. How do you communicate with somebody? Let's say, you know, your house is on one part, or Peter lives in the city on a prophet street somewhere, and you live somewhere in paradise. How do you communicate? How do you get together when it's so big? Is there cell phones? What do you do? Do you send a letter to somebody? See, if you're in the spiritual level, you communicate through the Spirit. But if you just barely got saved, you have to go find somebody. Angel, hey, where is this person? Hi, Jesus. Listen, I'm looking for so-and-so. I lost my mom. I lost my dad somewhere, you know? Do you know where they are? Yeah, they're up there. Go find them. There's billions of people here. You know, it's important. What I'm saying is it's important to live a life of sacrifice, a life of faith. Because this world is temporary. And the pleasures of this world are temporary. And you making it like that, that's all it is. It's not. There's so much more. And I hope this is a call to us today to walk in greater faith. Reach out higher. Worship deeper. Do acts for God here. Not because we want to be saved, but because we're saved. We don't do works because we want to be saved and we feel guilty of what we have done. No, that's not why we do that. We do it because we have a gratitude for our Savior and what He has done for us. Hallelujah. How did I get there? Spirit of God, He just, you know, like a river, just controls me. Hallelujah. The third line, and this is another line that's pretty short, before the throne of God, it's a line of thanksgiving. Have you ever thought about it? Thanksgiving is another line. Bible says, enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. So, remember, most people, how do they enter? God, I'm in trouble. That's the 7 billion, 10 billion, whatever it is, line. Help me. Beggar, please, please help me. Then there's the faith line. It's short. Then there is thanksgiving line. When we come here, what do you think we're doing? First part of our service. Thanksgiving. We bring Him thanksgiving. We give Him praise. And guess what? Thanksgiving is not really thanksgiving when you just bought a new car. I naturally praise God when something good happens in my life. As a Christian, I go, thank you, Jesus. That's what my dad used to do. I copied it from him. Something good happens, he goes, thank you, Jesus. He goes like that. You know? And I do that. You know, hail. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Jesus. Wrong one. And there's a line that's called thanksgiving. David says, enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving. When you come and you have crap in your life, you got problems in your life, and you said, God, I'm not going to come and join the 7 billion line. I'm going to get a shorter line, and I'm going to praise You and give You thanks. And I know maybe things are not good in my life, but I'm going to thank You for giving me life. I'm standing on my two feet. I am looking through my two eyes. I'm hearing through my two ears, whatever it is. I got blonde hair. Hallelujah. You know, thank you, Jesus. Okay. All of you have a dark hair. Don't get mad. I'll mention you next time. So there's a thanksgiving line. And it's not, listen to me, it's not when things are going great. It's when things are going bad. And you choose to join, not a bag me line, God line. Please, God, please do something. But you choose to join another line. And you say, God, and it's way shorter line. And the answer's in the line. Remember Jesus said, don't be like hypocrites, praying these huge prayers, begging. Repetition. God, please. He's like, God doesn't like that kind of prayer. The line is too long. Just, you know how it is? Moses had a million people stand before him, you know, and he got tired and weary. God has a billion, billions of people. God is like, don't use repetition, please. I know what you need before you ask. Huh. So God doesn't like the first prayer line so much. Too much repetition. It's like, I know, stop. Because notice, the first line is not a line of faith. It's just a beggar's line. Fear, whatever it is, God, please. You know, my enemy is getting richer. God, would You please make me or stop him? You know, something. God, please, you know. And God doesn't like that line. But God likes the line of faith. And God likes, if there was a checkout line, God would love the thanksgiving line. And that's what we do in praise and worship. But I have so many needs. You expect me to stand there and give Him thanks 20 minutes? Yeah, it's faster than if you were to beg for a few months. It's faster. God knows what you need. And thanksgiving is a heart condition. It's a mindset. You come, you know, and you have a lot of issues, but you come and say, God, I thank You. And this week, we're celebrating Thanksgiving, people. And it just worked today in my message. Fasting. How do you mix fasting and Thanksgiving, right? It works today somehow. He works. Because I didn't know it. He gave it to me. And this week, don't just sit in front of TV, but somehow on Thursday, especially Thursday, be thankful. Just tell Him what you... Don't just do, God bless this food. Thank You. Amen. No, just really think about what he has done for you. Well, you might not have the world yet, but you got something. Which line are you going to join? And the sad thing is that some of you will leave today and still stand in that 7 billion people line. And God is like, stop. There's another way. Amen? There's another line in line number 4. It's called sacrificial giving line. Now, and you would think that rich people, it would apply to them. But listen, for a rich person, money is nothing, so it's not a sacrifice. That wouldn't be a sacrificial giving. Do you remember a woman in Jesus' time came and the rich people were giving lots of money, tithe and offering, they were giving it and bringing things to the temple. And Jesus said, nah, that's nothing. Because what's for a rich? You know, if you're a millionaire and give 1,000, what's that to you? Right? That's not a sacrifice to you. Although it's 1,000 to poor people, a lot. But for rich people, it's nothing. And God has actually challenged me in the previous years. Because giving has become kind of easy. You know, once you practice tithing for a while, it's like, okay, here, tithing. You don't even think about it. And God is like, I don't want that. Like, what? But I want to give, you know, I've been practicing this, you know. That's not a sacrifice to you anymore. You don't even think about it. It doesn't pinch you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you've been a tither all your life, or at least tried to be, you know what it is. You just give without thinking. And God says, I need you to do something for the poor. I need you to actually go and eat with somebody who is not looking so pretty. And I had to go and buy a lunch for somebody who didn't have all their teeth. And it was like, and you have to eat and you almost like, I hate to say it. I know this sounds bad, but I'm trying to be honest with you. You're looking in their face and they're just messed up. And you're like, and then Jesus would do this. What if that's me? Remember I told you that story? What if that was me you're eating with? Tears would come to my face, to my eyes, and like, whoa, that is a sacrifice. Yeah, $5 at McDonald's might not be a sacrifice, but sitting with somebody and treating them like human beings and respecting them and loving them, yeah, that is a sacrifice for some of us. And we have to practice it because money might not be the thing anymore. But I'm talking about sacrificial giving. And I'm not talking just money. Giving of yourself. Amen? Some of you, you're not even giving anything. And so for you, sacrificial giving would be to give something. Some of you are already giving something. So maybe sacrificial for you would be giving 3% on a regular basis. Some of you give already 3%, maybe tithe. Some of you already give a tithe, so maybe you need to move to sacrificial beyond offering. Maybe if you give offering, you need to go and do whatever God tells you to do. Because whatever has become easy for you is not a sacrifice. And God loves sacrificial giving. So if you have an issue, you have a problem. And this lady who had 2 pennies or, you know, whatever it was, she had a need. She was broke. She had problems in her life. And instead of saying, I could buy a hamburger with this, she said, I'm just going to give it all. And Jesus, notice, she attracted the attention of Jesus. The goal of prayer, the goal of thanksgiving, the goal of faith, is to attract the attention of your Father. There's billions of beggars, but there's few who attract His attention. And God has given us tools and keys on how to attract His attention. And the line of thanksgiving is small because everybody is asking for more. Jesse and I went to see a movie called Wall Street something. And in that movie, that young kid asks this big investor, and he says, what is your number? How much is enough? He says, more. And that's how we all are. When you were making $7 an hour, you're like, if I only made 10, and now you're making 10, and you're like, because riches is not a permanent target. It's a moving target. So the richer you are, it's a floating target. So you want more and more and more. And God says, if you have a need and you come before, because why is fasting? What's fasting for? It's to attract the attention of God for a need, for desire, for something. I fasted in my life for one thing. Interesting thing about God. He knows our needs. I fasted a few years ago for one thing. I was like, God, this is what I want. I don't care about. But there was a need in my life. You know, but it was a physical need. I didn't care about it too much. Okay, whatever. But I needed it. And the interesting thing, as soon as I fasted, I didn't get what I was fasting for. But my need was automatically fulfilled. And I was like, wow. So don't just like, when you're fasting and asking God for some need, He might see a more important, more urgent need in your life. And He might fulfill that in your life. See, He knows what you need before you ask. Daniel wanted to hear from God. He wanted to know what's the future for his nation Israel. And he fasted for 21 days. And notice the prayers were blocked for 21 days. So maybe the line is being blocked too. But it cannot be blocked forever or for too long. All right? So thanksgiving. Sacrificial giving. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 16. Can I read this to you? It's a story of women from Zarephath and Elijah. And listen to what she did when she had a need. The nation of Israel was going through 3.5 years of drought. Nothing was growing. It was famine time, right? This woman was a widower. She didn't have much finances. And really all she had left was enough to make one meal for her and her son. And she said, we'll eat it and we will die. Right? Where's that story? It's actually chapter 17, verse 8. Yeah. The word of the Lord came to him saying, to Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath, which is belonging to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. He arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, indeed a widow was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And remember, this is a drought time. Water is very expensive. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. So give me first. She has a need. She doesn't know how she's going to survive. That's a problem, right? You want to attract the attention of God? Give him your last meal. Don't have to give it to church. That's not what... We don't do that here. Okay? We don't do that here. We're okay. Hallelujah. And she goes and prepares a meal for him. Gives him last that she has. And here her son and herself are going to die. And what happened was, thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. If this happened today, the media would say, man, the preacher is evil. How could he do this?
But she understood something the news media will never understand. She understood the principle. And she gave her last. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. The line, sacrificial giving line, is very short before God. And sometimes you're like, God, how do I get to you? I have a need. God says, if your need is serious enough, are you willing to have faith? You remember, to give your last, you have to have faith. Because a person of fear will not give his last chicken or whatever it is. Hallelujah. How many of you are getting this? So we went through four lines, and I got to go quick. And the fifth line, and the shortest line, the express line before the throne of God, is the fasting, prayer and fasting line. That's what we've been studying all week, all month pretty much. Fasting line draws attention of God, and it scares the heck out of the Satan and evil spirits. If you have a real big need, if you really want to know if the guy that's paying attention to you from God, you don't want to waste years to find out if he's a loser or not. Right? You want to go and say, God, and remember, anybody could fast a 3-day fast without even asking God. You don't have to be led by the Holy Spirit to, you know, because some people, well, I just don't feel led by the Holy Spirit to fast. You don't have to be. 21 day maybe, 40 day for sure, but 3 days is a general fasting. It's not going to kill you. All right? If you have issues with health, ask your doctor. Okay? Just remember, I don't want to be blamed. You know, pastor asked somebody to fast and she died. So ask your doctor or whatever. Or ask your friend or you know. Or fast from Diet Coke or something, you know, for 3 days first. See if you can do it. And yeah, headaches are normal. That's just with any withdrawal. Even if you try to quit smoking, it's interesting that the government is now making people stop smoking because the church wouldn't talk about it anymore. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. You've been trained to be offended since the first day you came here, so hallelujah. It'd be horrible, yeah? If I said something and half of the church left, I've been training you guys to be offended all the time. So, you know, you're immune to it. You know, your immune system, spiritual immune system is, you know. Besides, if you get offended so much, you're a babe in Christ. So, you know, that's not really, don't tell anybody you're offended. Because people will think, you know, you're just a baby. Sucking on your tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Smoking is an addiction, just like any addiction, and it's bad, okay? And it destroys your lungs, God had to use the government to stop it because, you know, the church just, you know, we're not religious. We don't do that. We don't want to hurt anybody, you know? We got new believers. No, we're not trying to hurt people. We're just telling the truth. And if you have an issue, don't get mad at the pastor. Just say, I'm declaring war against drinking. I'm a drunk. And I have to be delivered. Hallelujah. Why get mad at the pastor? Get mad at the devil. He's the one that's keeping you tight on a leash, you know. You're coughing in blood, but you're smoking. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not against government taking control of people's rights. No, not against that. But church should have been saying it. Then the government wouldn't have to. I don't know. That's just my opinion. You don't have to take it. Am I still good, Jesse?
For the next series.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I just want to kind of hit it so I don't have to do a series on it, you know?
That's all
just kind of, you know, be awkward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Fasting line is the line that draws attention of God and scares the crap out of Satan and evil spirits. Esther got in trouble. And you know what? Standing in the 7 billion people line was just not an option. There was not enough time. Evil Haman was going to destroy all the Jews in the whole empire of King Xerxes or whatever his name was. And she didn't have any time. And so she had to act quickly. And in Esther did this. Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in a king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have... I got to get a different translation. I just can't read. I used to do King James, and that was horrible. So, not that I don't want to read King James. I just can't. And yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, her uncle. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days and nights. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I will perish. And we know after 3 days of fasting, God came through for Esther. She goes into the court of the king. He has mercy on her and has favor for her and answers her need. And opposite happens, where Jews were supposed to be killed and everybody who killed them were supposed to take their possession. And just like those days, the same as today, Jews are pretty rich people, right? They had a lot of possession. People were jealous. They were ready to kill. And here the order is being reversed. Haman is being put on a stick, like on a pencil. Yeah. The stick that he prepared for Mordecai and the Jews. He dies and his 7 sons die on the posts. That's what fasting does. What does it do? It makes the line in fasting. And maybe this whole world, there's only few people fasting. And the more you fast, the closer in that line you get. And you attract the attention of God. Alice Paul, how many of you know her? She's a woman rights activist who fought for the rights of women to vote in America. And how she, when she was arrested and was sentenced to 7 months in prison, when she entered prison, she decided to fast. And with that, she drew, it was a hunger strike, but it doesn't matter what you call it, fast or hunger strike. Drew the attention of media, it drew the attention of the President Wilson, who was the president of that time in 1920s. And she didn't spend 7 months in prison. After 22 days, they tried to force feed her. She was fighting women. She was fighting for the rights for women to vote in America. This is 1920s, not too long ago, less than 100 years ago. And after 5 weeks, she was released. Actually, they had to kind of help her because she couldn't walk anymore. They tried to shove food down her throat, but she just would not have it. And listen to what she wrote, and with this I'm going to finish. She said this in her, after she got out. It was the strongest weapon left in which to continue our battle. If there's no other weapons, nobody else could help you in this life. And this might not come up for a few years for you. But just remember, we're not preaching just for today. We're laying a foundation for the future. Someday in 3 years, you might have such a need where the long line, beggar's line wouldn't do. No other lines would do. And you have to go before the throne of God and get His attention now. And you know what? A lot of us, we talk good. It's easy to pray. God help me this, God help me that. But when prayer and action, fasting is an action. Faith without action is dead. So the thing about fasting and what the power that it has, because it's an action. It's action of not eating food for a certain period of time to get attention of God. And when you do that, God will come through. There's many stories in the Bible about fasting where God came through mightily. And the army that was coming against Israel, the five kings, when they fasted and then came before God with thanksgiving. And actually, this is how Israel would go to war at that time. They placed the worship team in front of this army. And they said, this is how we're going to march. And they started marching against the enemy. Imagine putting the worship people, you know. They sing. They you know, they're musicians. They don't practice art of kung fu, you know. You know, they don't know kung fu or nothing like that. They just... Guys, I think I know kung fu. Imagine putting singers in front of the army. Yeah, you guys go fight. Yeah. And as they started singing and worshiping God and giving Him thanks, He said, we thank You, God, for Your good and Your mercies endures forever. Five kings, five armies. Chaos happened in their camp. Oh, when you fast, you grab attention of God. And if you grab the attention of God, it brings confusion to your enemy. Brings confusion to your enemy. And they started running wild. Then they started killing the opposite army. And then they started killing brother, soldier, soldier. And when Israel came, there was no one left. Everyone died. Humongous army, maybe over 100,000 people, killed themselves. Who gets the glory? Worship team. No, I'm just kidding. God gets the glory. Amen. You might have a need today in your life, and you need to get the attention of God. Maybe 3 days of fasting would be good for you. Where you humble yourself before God. Where you know, when you fast, you're going to be stressful. You know, there's going to be issues coming your way, problems that you need to solve. And the devil will say, well, in order for you to solve this problem, you need to eat. Like, that's going to change anything. I know how it is on the first day of fasting, 3 o'clock, and there's an urgent need, and you have to eat in order to solve it. Jesus said this, they don't fast now because I'm here. But my friends, when I'm gone, will fast. Maybe you don't have a big need, and one day of fasting will be good for you. But maybe you do have a need right now in your life. You're asking God for strength, for healing. Maybe there's problems in your family. Maybe there's people who need to be saved in your family. Maybe your whole family needs to fast. Like Esther, she called her whole Jewish community to fast. And that takes lots of faith.